message, God, that you, oh God, would equip me and enable me for what you would have me to do. As I often pray, I'm not here to please anyone, but I'm here, oh God, to lift up, to please, not to offend, but to lift up your name, oh God, and that people will come to see you in a new way. And I pray through all that we are going through with this coronavirus, the fear that is gripping people, oh God, the uncertainty that is gripping people. I pray that this message would encourage somebody today. I pray and I ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are going through a very rough time. We're going through a time where we are seeing on the news where doctors and nurses are fearful themselves. We are seeing where people are fighting over masks and fighting over PPEs. We are seeing time where bodies are just cast in rooms with living people. We are living in the time when we have refrigerated trucks outside with bodies being piled up. We're living in a time where we're afraid to get a phone call because we don't know if it's going to be one of our family members that has come down with the virus. And when we hear that they have come down with the virus, we wonder how bad it's going to be. Then we may hear that they entered the hospital. And then we're praying, oh God, keep them off the ventilator. Then we hear they have gone to the ventilator and we pray some more. We are living in a very difficult time. And sometimes people, when we go through difficult times, the one of the things we begin to question is the love of God. Where is God in all of this? Where is your love, God? Why aren't you taking care of this? Well, I want to use, move from that bounce off of that platform, if you will, to talk about how love casts out fear. I'm not coming from a particular verse, but I'm going to use different verses that all speak to the same thing to speak my message today. So in a way, it's not an expository message. You may call it more a topical message. But I want us to understand when you finish from here, the love that God has given to us, we ourselves have to take responsibility for that love. So I want to talk about how does love cast out all fear. I want to talk about how it happens. It happens when love is understood. Secondly, how does love cast out fear? When that love is tested. How does love cast out fear? When that love is received and believed. So let's go to our first point. How does love cast out fear? It casts out fear when love is understood. Remember, Christ always, when he was walking upon this earth, one of the things he always preached was Christ, his redemptive, forgiving love. If you want to understand who Jesus Christ is, go through the Gospels and focus upon what Christ was preaching and teaching about. It was mainly his redemptive, forgiving love. Now, the topic of our sermon today is going to be Peter and Judas. Both Peter and Judas, like all of the other disciples and apostles, lived with Christ, ate with Christ in close community. They slept with Jesus Christ. They ministered along Jesus Christ. They received and heard for 3 years at least the teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ on his redemptive forgiving love. One of the main themes of Jesus' teaching, again, was his redemptive forgiving love. So what is this redemptive forgiving love? His love is redemptive in that it means whatever we have done, he has taken that punishment for it on the cross. We just came out of Holy Week where we went through the seven last words. And one of the words was, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. But you have to understand, my brothers and sisters, that when he talks about his redemptive love, everything that we have ever done or will ever do up until the time we go home to be with Jesus, God has already forgiven on the cross. That is called the redemptive love. His forgiving love is that when you call out to him, he will erase the record. He will expunge the record. He will annihilate the record. He will remove the record of what you have done, and he will remember it no more. That is the redemptive forgiving love of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 8:12 tells us, for I will forgive their wickedness, I will remember their sins no more. Hallelujah, saints. That is something we can celebrate this morning. If you don't believe, pray. Let me give you some scriptures about Jesus' redemptive, forgiving love. Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That is redemptive, forgiving love. Luke 6:37, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Mark 11:12. These are all the teachings of Jesus. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Listen, he did not demonstrate his only redemptive forgiving love by just words. He did it through actions. You remember the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, verses 3 to 11? When Jesus, listen to what it says, when Jesus lifted himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said unto a woman, where are those who accuse you? Has no one condemned you? She said, no, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I. Go and sin no more. That is redemptive, forgiving love. This woman in the natural, she would have been stoned to death. But because of Jesus' redemptive, forgiving love, he forgave her, he redeemed her, and said, go and sin no more. Do you remember the man who was healed at the pool of Bethsaida in John chapter 5, verse 14? It says, after Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Redemptive, forgiving love. When Jesus healed the paralytic, when Jesus healed the paralytic, the one who was lowered down from the roof by his friends, he said this in Matthew 9, verses 6 to 8. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Then the man got up, took his mat, and went home. That's the redemptive, hallelujah, forgiving love of Jesus Christ. This teaching and preaching of Jesus, both Peter and Judas heard the same theme, and they knew that was the focus of Christ's teaching for 3 years. But they did not truly understand it. For one day, that same teaching would have been tested, as it would be for all of us. You have to understand, we come to church every Sunday. We are in Sunday school. Some of us even teach about the goodness of God. You talk about how Jesus died on the cross for you. Yet in the midst of this coronavirus, we are questioning, where is God's love? Where is God in the midst of all of this? And we have to remember how sin came into this world. How sickness came into this world. We didn't bring it up. But when Adam and Eve sinned, and they opened the door for sin and sickness to come in, then it came in, and this is what we are suffering, and this is what we are going through. But we understand that we should remember that although we are people who have been brought under this curse, for lack of a better word, we understand that Jesus Christ died and Jesus Christ rose from the dead to defeat Satan, self, sin, and death and the grave. Yes, all of us have to go the way of death, one way or the other. But I want us to understand and know where to put the blame as who speaks. Yes, the Lord may have allowed this to happen, but you have to understand who is the cause of it. It is not your God. Why would God send sin and plague up in here? But you have to understand, it came because of the wickedness and the evil of Satan himself. Because the Bible says, Satan comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So when you want to blame put it at the feet of the right one. If it's anything that's going on, the Lord has a covering over his people. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I will deliver them from them all. The Bible says the weapons of a warfare, saints, they are not carnal, but they're powerful through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It says no weapon forged against us shall prosper. That is the God we serve. So we have to understand the love, the redemptive, forgiving love of God and of Jesus Christ as we go through this time. As we go through this time, you not only have to understand the redemptive, forgiving love of Christ, but you have to that it casts out fear. You have to understand that it's important that when it is tested, that's how you can stand. Love is tested when the people you love fail you in some way. Your love is being tested now because many believe that the love of God has failed them in some way through this stuff. And I'm telling you, I've had conversations. So it is being tested now. But I want us to look at Peter and Judas in the midst of the testing that they went through. Both of these men were followers of Jesus Christ, both Peter and both Judas. As I said before, both heard the teaching of Jesus over a period of 3 years. Well done, when I get to the last point, I'm going to bring it very clear to you. Both of these men, again, were followers of Jesus Christ. Peter was one of the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, who always traveled with Jesus, when Jesus went to do especially his most mighty and powerful work. John, Peter was one of the inner circle. Judas was one of Jesus' disciples with him for 3 years. Yet both of them betrayed Christ. People like to say that Judas betrayed Christ, but Peter denied Christ. A denial is a betrayal. It is just that they use a nicer word for it, but it's the same thing Judas and Peter did. Both of these men who walked with Christ, who slept where Christ slept, ate what Christ ate, listened to his teaching in a time of crisis, what did they do? They betrayed him and they denied him. Peter even went so far to say, Lord, if everybody forsake you, I will die for you. Let's look at what they did. I want to look at Luke chapter 22, verses 1 to 6. I want to read about the betrayal that Judas did, and I want to read about the betrayal that Peter did, so we can be reminded. In the midst of your testing and trials, my brothers and sisters, I want you to learn that sometimes when you don't understand what God is doing, and God may not, you may not even agree, hold on to the love that you know your God has for you. And hold on to the love you know you have for your God. Listen to what happened in Luke 20, 22, verses 1. This is Peter, Judas now. Now, the festival of unleavened bread called the Passover was approaching. And the chief priests and teachers to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up. I'm moving now to verse 47 to show how he betrayed Jesus. While he was still speaking, a crowd showed up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Verse 54, this is how it ends. Then seizing him, they led him, took him into the house of the high priest. He betrayed his Lord and Master. Let me read Peter's account now, and then I'll come back and comment on both. Peter denied, disobey Christ. Verses Luke 22, 54 to 62. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, and when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else said, "You are one of them." "Man, I'm not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asked, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Let me tell you what's happening here. Two men among the apostles and disciples followed Jesus Christ closely. Both heard the message of Jesus and talk about love and redemption. Here, both of them have betrayed Jesus at this point in time. Judas betrayed Christ because Christ was not following the agenda Judas had in mind. Even though Judas heard Jesus talking about love and redemption, he had another plan. His plan was that Jesus was the Messiah who came to deliver them from the oppression of the Romans. He came to deliver them from the Roman oppressors. So because Jesus wasn't going in the way he wanted Jesus to go, and he did not really hear and understand the message of Jesus Christ, he wanted to do things his way. He wanted Christ to follow and do things in the way Judas wanted it to do. Judas has had his own agenda, the way in which it should go. And so therefore, because Christ wasn't going in the way Judas expected Christ to go, he never heard the message. He began to put things in place to force Christ to start an insurrection, to cause Christ to cause a revolution. So he went to the ones and he told them, "I can find him and I will betray him." And then when he put Christ in that situation, he expected Christ to retaliate. If Christ wouldn't retaliate, at least his disciples would. But guess what? He never heard the message of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ said he didn't come to establish a kingdom. He came to lay down his life for his sheep. Amen? So when this happened, all that time, Judas never heard Jesus' message because he had something else in his heart. Sometimes there are people in the church, you're preaching and you're teaching and you're teaching and you're preaching on the love of Christ. You're teaching of the things of God. And because they have other things in their hearts and other intentions and other focuses, or other foci, I should say, instead of focusing upon the things of the Lord, because they may have their own hidden agendas, that is what comes out. And so when trouble comes, they begin to question, where is the love of the Lord? Peter, let's talk about Peter. Peter, one of Jesus' inner disciples, is there. Peter, James, John, and yet he did not fully understand the forgiving, the redemptive love of Christ. Because if Judas wanted Jesus to start up his own revolution, Peter did not fully understand at that time, the true message of Christ. Because remember when Jesus told the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and die, Peter said, "No, you are not." And Jesus had to rebuke him and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You have the will of man in mind, not the will of God." So Peter himself was looking more for Christ to set up a kingdom on earth, not so much a kingdom, a heavenly kingdom, where he would suffer and die first. So that's why when it came time to stand up for Christ, he didn't want to do it because he wanted to preserve his life. Love, you gotta understand. When you come to understand the perfect love of Jesus Christ, it matters not what happens around you. It matters not what you have in your heart. It matters not your own agenda. When you fully understand the love of Jesus Christ, it casts out everything you are fearful of. And it's able to really understand the things of Christ so that you can move away from fear and move into the love of Christ. I'm coming into the last verse now. The last point. You have to understand the redemptive forgiving love to understand that it casts out fear. That you cannot love Christ. I'm sorry. Forgive me. You have to understand the forgiving redemptive love of Christ. How love casts out fear. When love is understood. When that love is tested. And you can stand strong to say that I love my Christ. I will not turn on my Christ. I will not betray my Christ. And let me say it again. Right now, in the midst of what we are going through, you are facing a challenge that God really loves in the midst of this. That despite all the death and the sickness that you see going, that God loves in the midst of this. That when you come to understand that, it matters not what happened. You do not question that, but you're able to stand strong. I want to move to the third point, love received. How love casts out fear? It casts out fear when love is received and believed. Amen? Remember, they walked with Christ for 3 years, and it seemed they heard it, but I don't think they understood it. They walked with Christ for 3 years, yet when it came a test, both of them denied Christ. And last, I want to talk about love received and received and believed. I want you to see how it ends, because how you go through this coronavirus, how you end up after it's over, will tell who you are in Jesus Christ. It will tell of the depth of your love. It will tell if after all those years, going to church and teaching and preaching, because there comes a time when every single one of our faith is tested. Maybe this is a time your faith is tested. Maybe this is a time you're questioning God. But how you come out of this will determine how stronger you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Let me talk about this Peter and this Judas, how they came out of this situation. I want you to look at Matthew 27, starting at verse 1. Matthew 27, starting at verse 1. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. Listen to what they said. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple, left, then went away and hung himself. I'm going to stop there. This is the man. And we know that Judas was predicted to be the son of perdition. But this is a man who lived how many years? 3 years. Under the teaching of Christ. 3 years he heard preaching. 3 years he heard about forgiveness. 3 years he saw where Jesus demonstrated forgiveness to the woman, the adulterous woman, to the man at the well. He said, go and sin no more. 3 years he heard that teaching. There should have been no question about Jesus' love and his ability to forgive anything. As a matter of fact, he said, the only sin that's not forgiven is blasphemy. And Judas did not blaspheme. There isn't a sin that Jesus does not forgive. So if he had understood the redemptive forgiving love of Jesus Christ, He would not have run to confess to the chief priest that he did wrong. I want to give back the money. He would have found some way to say, Jesus, I messed up. I was wrong. I understand that you are forgiving. I understand that you will redeem my sin. Even this, you will forgive me. I have failed you. I have betrayed you. Forgive me, my Lord. I messed up and I'm coming back. But what did he do? He never understood the redemptive, forgiving love of Jesus Christ. He never did. All those years he worked. And what about us believers? What about us? You mess up once and you run away from church. We don't see you. You mess up once. You think God has written you off. You mess up once. You think you're done for and you're going to hell. No! When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die for a few sins. He died for every single sin. That's the redemptive love that he has. And not only that, it's a forgiven love. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the love that our God has. It is total. It is unconditional. And it is complete. So even when you're going through this, my brothers and sisters, and you have fear, please remember the love of God, that he loves you with an everlasting love. Well, let me go on. Let's talk about Peter. Let's go to John chapter 21, starting at verse 15. John 21:15. Whereas Judas ran to the chief priest to find redemption, look what Peter did. John chapter 21, starting at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Verse 16, again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Three times, Jesus asked him that question. Why do you think Jesus asked him that question three times? He asked him that question three times to cancel out the fact that he betrayed him three times by denying him. But what I found amazing about Peter is that Peter understood Jesus' forgiving redemptive love. He really didn't even understand it fully then, because when Jesus asked him, do you love me? Jesus was using the word agape and Peter was using the word phileo. Yes, I phileo you. Agape means a sacrificial love, a painful love, a love that will give everything for the person. Phileo means, yeah, I love you. I'll be there for you. That's what phileo is, a friendship kind of love. But Jesus was saying, do you love me? Peter did not come to love Christ like that till later on when he allowed himself to be crucified upside down for Jesus Christ. So even then, and the weak love that he had, he still came back because in his weakness, in the weak love he had for Jesus, it was enough to bring him back. Could you imagine when Peter went back among the disciples for the first time? Could you imagine how the disciples responded? What? You coming up among us and you betrayed the master? You betrayed him, you denied him? So Peter went back in shame. I don't know if I would have had the guts to go back. But Peter went back among the apostles and among the disciples. How would we have treated him if he had come back amongst us? How would we feel if we were in Peter's place? Not only that, Peter had to have sought forgiveness of the team because they welcomed him back in. He had to have sought forgiveness of Christ because he was always considered among them. Peter, although his love was still weak, understood that Christ's love is a redeeming love, that Christ's love is a forgiving love, meaning no matter what Peter had done, he knew and he understood that he could come back, hallelujah, that he could come back under the love umbrella of Jesus Christ, and Jesus would not reject him. He understood that he would not only redeem his sin and his weakness, but he also found forgiveness. The record was cleaned. The record was removed. His record was expunged. No longer would he be considered in the eyes of God, in the eyes of Christ, that he was a betrayer. He was a denier. He was a backstabber. No, God cleansed it all, and it was all finished. I will remember your sin no more. Peter understood the redemptive, forgiving love of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about a pastor whose son was on drugs. The son would come into the home, steal stuff, curse out his father on the street. He gave his testimony. He embarrassed his father in the whole town because people came to understand that's the pastor's son. But the pastor never gave up on him. He went after him and he searched out for him. And when he would search out for him, he would curse his father and chase his father away. How he hated Jesus and how Jesus did this and how God don't love. If God really loved, he wouldn't do this. If God really loved, there wouldn't be so much terror and trouble in the world. If God really loved, why are things going on? If God really loved, why am I going through this? Oh, he hated his father. Would spit on him when he saw his father. And this young man today is on the worship team of his father's church. And he gave testimony. He said, I never understood the love of Christ until I saw it in my father. My father never rejected me. My father stood with me. Even when I cursed him and I spat upon him, he said, my father showed me love. And that's how I came to understand the redemptive, forgiving love of Jesus Christ. We may not understand a lot that's going on in this coronavirus. We may not understand a lot of it. But we have to know that our God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You want more? See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Number said, in accordance with your great love, forgive the sins of these people. Romans 5 says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. And John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is made perfect in love. My brothers and sisters, as I close this message, I want you to know, do not believe whatever lie the enemy is trying to bring upon in your head, trying to tell you because of this stuff. Somehow God can't handle it. Somehow God is not in control. Somehow God don't love you. How is that possible when he gave his life on the cross for you and he shed his blood for you? Greater love has no man than this, that he gave up his life for his friends. Do not let fear overtake you. When it begins to overtake you, begin to focus upon the love of God and all that he has done for you. Perfect love. That's how. God bless you this morning. God bless you this morning. If you receive that message, give me a wave. Amen. If the Lord has blessed you this morning, give me a wave through that message. We serve an awesome God. We serve a glorious God. We serve a mighty God. He's awesome and glorious. He's awesome and mighty. There is no weapon forged against us shall prosper. No plague will come near our tent, but he will stand with us. He will cover us, and he will watch over us in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. God bless you this morning. Whew. Sorry, folks. You know I get worked up about the things of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
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 Thank you, God. Thank you, God, Jesus. Thank you for your love, God. We do-